Today, we're going to be in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. That is the passage we are going to be going through today. And really what I want to start off with is the main idea of what's going on in this text and what's going on at the time. So Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and really what's going on here is Paul is teaching and reiterating to believers some different themes that we're going to see today. And it's very important that I note that Paul is talking to Gentile believers. And that's important because it's not just people who have never heard the gospel before. These are faithful believers. We see that through chapter 1 when Paul offers up prayer and supplication. Verse 15, when Paul has heard of the Ephesians' faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love towards all the saints. So I say that to say that Paul, context of this passage, is that Paul is talking to believers with the church of Ephesus. And like I said, that's important, just kind of in the same way that where we're headed in this passage. And where we're headed in this passage is we're going to understand what we are saved from, what we are saved by, and what we are saved for. And I'm going to say that one more time just because I'm prone to forget things a lot. And it's there on your handout, but it's just good to hear what we're going to be talking about and kind of have a handle. So when we go through and talk about all these different points that you guys can track well. So what we are saved from, what we are saved by, and what we are saved for. And before I go any further, I want to make clear what the gospel is. Because I think Paul, in the same way that he's talking to people, believers who have already heard the gospel, I think we too should make the foundation of this topic and this passage is the gospel. So in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they chose their own authority against God's authority. And we see that in Genesis when they choose that authority, they choose to rebel against God. And that's what the idea of sin is. The idea of sin is not just that we do bad things. It wasn't just that Adam and Eve took from the fruit of the tree that God told them not to, is the fact that they chose their own authority, they chose their own rebellion over the Creator's authority. And so there we have an idea that we have chosen things, we have desired things, and we value things that are not of God. And so here we have God, who's a holy God, and here we have us, who are sinful beings. And I say that we are sinful beings because we, too, have chosen things over God. We have chosen our own authority. We have looked at our Creator and said, God, I don't care that you created us. I don't care that you should be the Lord of our life. I'm going to choose my own authority. And that is where sin causes a relational split. We have severed that relationship we had with God. And so because of that, we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve death. But God being rich in mercy, and we'll talk about that in the passage, too. But for this sake, God wanted to restore that relationship with man. And it was by his grace that that relationship was restored. And it was that through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came down from heaven, became a servant, lived a perfect life, something that you and I could never do, and died and bore the wrath, died on the cross and bore the wrath that we all deserve. And I want to make that very clear, is the fact that we were deserving of death. We were deserving the wrath of God. But Christ took that wrath and took that death that we deserve. And 3 days later, God raised Christ from the dead. That's significant because it shows us that Jesus really was who he said he was, the Son of God, fully human at the same time. And that shows that we could do nothing to earn salvation. It shows that he was everything he said he was, everything that he did and said that he did was true. And really what that means for us now is that faith in Christ, that we have been saved by Jesus, we have been saved by grace, the grace of God, and that is where we're heading to, is faith in Christ and what we are created for. So I want to make that clear, and that wasn't the clearest presentation of the gospel. Hopefully you guys were able to glean from that, but basically, man is sinful. We have a desire for everything but God. And because of that, we deserve death. And because of Jesus and faith in Christ, we do not have that punishment anymore. We do not have the wrath of God upon us anymore. We are then imputed the righteousness of Christ. We are made right in the eyes of God because of what Christ has done and how he has taken his righteousness and imputed or given it to us. I want you guys to understand that. And so, just like Paul, in understanding where he's coming from, I think really now we can glean from the text what he's trying to communicate once we have the gospel as our foundation. So once again, main point, what we are saved from, what we are saved by, and what we are saved for. Let's go ahead and get into the text. Can someone please read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10? Sweet, thank you.
And you are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you so much. So, if we operate under the idea of what we are saved from, the simple answer, and that's what kind of I'm going to be following that formula, or I guess that format, is I'm going to give you a simple answer, and then we're going to hash out why that answer is what it is. So, what are we saved from? Simple answer, wrath. We are saved from the wrath of God. One thing that those Ephesians would have understood is the gospel. At that point, they would have understood that they were under the wrath of God at one point. And just like we too understand that we are under the wrath of God at one point. And really when we're discussing what we're saved from, I think it's important to understand our nature. Why we need saving. Why in the world do we need a Savior or God for himself to come down and save us? So, in verse 1, we're going to go ahead and reread that. Can someone go ahead and reread verse 1?
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work, and those who are disobedient. Just read both.
Hey, that's okay. I mean, if you're reading the Bible, that is not a bad thing. So in verse 1, we see we are dead in our trespasses. And I want us to understand that we were not sick. We were not in a position to where we could do anything. You know, when you're sick, you can take medication and antibiotic and things usually get better. Paul is trying to communicate, we were not just sick, we were dead. I want that to sink in. We were not just sick. We were dead in our trespasses. So what is our nature? Nature is something that we can't really help. It's something we are born into. We kind of understand this idea of that if we are by nature children of wrath, what does that mean? That means that when we were born, we had an innate ability to choose the things other than God, choose our own desires, and kind of choose the values of what Ephesians 2 lines out. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, the desires of the body and the passions of our flesh, things that we desire instead of God. So what is our nature? Our nature is one of where we choose things other than God. And by nature, we are children of wrath. So what are we saved from? Simple answer, wrath. And why is it important that we know our nature? It's important that we know our nature because we need to have an understanding of why we need saving. Why do we need saving? Because we chose things over God. We deserve the wrath of God because God is just and he cannot go not punishing sin. I mean, what I mean by that is he cannot still be just and still be God if he lets pun be unsinned. That was a spoonerism right there. if we let, or if he lets sin be unpunished. So one thing that we can all relate to is that at one point or another, we have all been dead in our trespasses. I want us to understand that before we move through the text. And the big point of that is we have rejected the authority of God. And so another sub-point under that would be what we deserve for our nature. If we agree that our nature is one that we reject God and we deserve wrath for that, what is it that is going to happen? Or what do we deserve for our nature? Something that we can't help. Long answer, sin has caused us to be dead. We deserve the wrath of God for going against our Creator. And likewise, we have already valued things that are not God. And that, in simple, has earned us wrath. So, where are we leaving once we leave verse 2, or verse 1? We were spiritually dead with no way to save ourselves. And I say that because dead can't do anything. If we were dead in our trespasses, that doesn't just mean that we are sick and still able to do things to save ourselves. Paul is trying to communicate, no, we were dead. There was nothing we could do. That's going to be important for the rest of what Paul is trying to communicate. So we're going to move on to point number 2. What are we saved by? Once again, simple answer, grace. We are saved by grace. And one question you might have immediately is like, well, who issued this grace? If we're saved by grace, who issued this grace? And what is this idea of grace? So can someone please read verses 4 through 7 for us, please?
Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised. How many verses?
Through 7, please.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus.
Thank you so much. I think it's important when we're talking about what we are saved by, is that we understand the character of God. Because these verses highlight things about God, attributes of God, that is really important to understanding why grace was issued to us. So let's go ahead and look at some of those attributes. Verse 4 shows us that God is rich in mercy because of the great love he has for us. So we understand that mercy, that God is merciful because of the great love in which he has for us. So God is loving, God is merciful. When I say God is loving, I don't want that to be misconstrued in the sense that God will not punish sin. Like I said earlier, that God is a just God. For him to let sin go unpunished, he would cease to be God. And so I want us to understand that because when looking at his attributes, his idea of love is something way greater than we understand as humans right now. Just because him being so just, he provided a way for us to receive grace. He provided a way for us to restore a relationship back to him. That shows that he wanted to physically make that relationship whole again and restore that relationship he had with us. So we understand that God is merciful. We understand that God is loving, but he is also just. And I want us to understand, too, that it was not a conditional love. I think verse 5 makes it very clear. Even while we were dead in our trespasses, God still loved us. And so let's sit here and camp out on that for a little bit. This idea that even while we were still dead, we were made alive with Christ. Wow, that's incredible because we see it's not conditional. If God's love were conditional upon us, then you wouldn't see that verse in there that Paul is communicating, inspired by God to write down that by grace you've been saved. Wrong spot. In verse 5, even while we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So it's not conditional. God's love is because of his character and which he has for us. So I want us to understand that too. And if we misunderstand our nature, and I think going back to our nature, one of being children of wrath, I'm deserving of wrath, by nature, children of wrath, if we misunderstand that, then we misunderstand how good God is. Because God literally did everything for us. I want us to understand that we were dead. We couldn't do anything. The fact that God made us alive in Christ shows that God did a work in us that we could not do. God has done everything for us. He has created new life where there was once death. And I think Paul is trying to communicate that. And he does that by listing out how we were once dead. And so we see the progression of where Paul's letter, the way he's writing, is he wants to communicate to the audience of which he's talking, the Ephesians, the believers and the saints at Ephesians, that we were once dead, and because of that death, we could do nothing to save ourselves. And it's completely by God's grace. We're going to talk about that next, that we are even able to approach the throne of God, that he wanted to restore that relationship with us. And it's not a work that we have done, and it's not conditional upon us that he loves us. It's completely by his grace. So, we see that he has done a work in us, and I ask the question again. What were we saved by? One, we are saved by God, but more specifically, we were saved by the grace that God has given us. We see that in verse 8. Can someone please read that for us? If not, I can read it. I'll go ahead and read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So immediately we see, like literally word for word, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. I think a misconception that we have is that faith saves us. A lot of people might believe, and even in my own lifetime, understanding like, oh, it's not faith that saves us. It's literally grace. The fact that Christ has already done everything. And it's interesting that we see that in verse 9, it's not a result of works so that no one may boast. This idea still that we were dead and we could do nothing presents itself here in the sense that not as a result of works, because dead people, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but dead people and dead things don't really do anything. In fact, they can't do anything. The reason being is because they are dead. And I want us to understand that. If you understand anything today, well, understand that the gospel is incredible. Understand that Jesus and that God has done a work inside of us that we could not do. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we did a work to get. Like the righteousness of Christ, we do not deserve to be right in the eyes of God. However, because of who God is, and because of who Christ is, God attributes Christ's righteousness to us. And that's the heart of the gospel, is the fact that we did nothing to save ourselves. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. We were dead. God has provided a way back to him through faith in his son. Through faith, not by faith, through faith. A wise man once told me, and by wise man, I'm referring to Trey. He helped me out on this. But faith is the instrument in which we use to kind of grab hold of that grace and to put our faith and our trust in grace. So, moving away from verse 8, we understand that it's by grace we have been saved through faith. And going on into verse 9, I'll go ahead and read that for us. Not as a result of works so that no one may boast. We've kind of already hit up this idea that it's not our own doing. It's completely the gift of God. It's completely grace. Getting something we do not deserve. The righteousness of Christ attributed to us. And it's a good thing that he lays that out so clearly, because now no one can say, hey, I have saved myself. And I think Paul's trying to make that point very clear that we are dead. We can't do anything. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. And now we're going to move into what we are saved for. So, short answer, what are we saved for? Good works, for his glory. That's the short answer. What we're going to look at is verse 10 now. And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So verse 10, we were created in Christ Jesus. Don't misunderstand that. We were once dead, where life did not exist, because of the transgressions that we had against and the trespasses we had against God, how we rejected his authority, we deserved death. And there was death there. There's no life. God literally created life where there was none. So we were created in Christ Jesus, and he has created us anew. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Like I said, once there was once death, there is now life through faith by grace. So that's a very big idea. It's the idea that God has created us anew in Christ. So when we take this passage for what it says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I don't think that's very hard to misunderstand. I think that's very clear in what Paul is trying to communicate. We were created for good works and not anything that we could have done before placing faith in Christ. But it's that new life that we have been given by grace that we are now able to do what God has predestined us to do beforehand. And so we should walk in them. And why is it important that we walk in the good works that God has set before us? Very simply put, for his glory. His workmanship, doing exactly what he created us to do, that new life he's created with us in Christ, he has allowed us to now take part of what he's doing and to take part in. If you guys created something, would it not bring you glory for them to do that purpose? Let's say you created a robot. You're really good at creating different things in like the technology world. You could create a robot. Would it not bring you glory for people to see your robot doing exactly what you designed it to do? I think so. I mean, I've never really built a robot, but I can understand the idea that if I created something and it did exactly what it was created to do, that would bring me glory. In the same way, not that we can ever understand it with our human brains to the full extent of what God gets, but God gets glory from the work that we do and the good works that he has set before us when we walk in them. So I want us to understand that we are his workmanship, created in Christ. Whence, where there was death, there is now life. So that is Ephesians 1, or Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I kind of want to just recap with the main point of this passage is what we were saved from, the wrath of God, what we were saved by, the grace of God through faith, and what were we saved for? Short answer, we were saved for his glory and for good works that we might walk in them and give due glory to God who is deserving of it all. And so really, that's what I think Paul is trying to communicate in these verses. And going forth, understanding the foundation of that is the gospel, why we need saving in the first place. So that is what I have today.